Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. I want to read verse 10 through verse 14. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. For I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. My text will be verse 13. If we look around at our society, one of the things which become very evident is our dissatisfaction. Those who have everything life has to offer most often experiences a void in their soul. And this may lead them to drugs, alcohol, or other stimuli in an effort to find inner peace. Those who have little to nothing, they are usually striving to have more. And all those who are in between are usually at the point where they share a combination of the two. That is, well, what we have is never enough, and yet what we have brings no joy. So the search for peace continues. Now, I don't mean to limit our discussion to possessions only. This extends to relationships, emotions and feelings, self-esteem, and other aspects of our lives. But in sum, it would appear to me that there is very little contentment in the American culture. May I submit unto you, above anyone else, those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior ought to be content. Now, I'm not saying we cannot improve our condition or situation if we can. But if we aren't careful, we as Christians will adopt the world's philosophy and try to find peace, contentment, and a sense of fulfillment in all the wrong places. Or we will respond as the world responds, as if we have no hope. Now, my friends, if anyone should be content, a Christian should. And with that in mind, I would like to share a verse which is very common. In fact, I would venture to say this is probably one of the most quoted verses beside John 3:16. Most of us know this promise. We believe this promise. But do we really know what it means? I assess from the reading that the Apostle Paul had reached a place in his life where he was able to deal with the many and varied circumstances. And the reason is because of our text. So I want to speak to you today, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the title of my message is, The Secret of Paul's Contentment. Let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. Thank you for those who are able to be here. And we ask that you would just speak to our hearts and help us to learn your word and teach us by your Spirit. Fill us with your grace and your mercy, that God, we might be as we ought to be, that we might be content, that we might serve you well. We ask if there's any here today who is not saved, that you would convict them, draw them to Jesus, that today would be the day of their salvation. And we pray for those that are sick and afflicted. We've mentioned many names this morning. We pray that you would heal them. We pray for the bereaved. We ask that you would comfort them. And Lord, just set apart all the thoughts and the cares of the world that we might dwell upon you and you alone today without distraction, so that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, so that you would be honored. We commit these things to you today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I want to speak to you about the secret of Paul's contentment. And the best way to do this, I believe, is to begin in the context. Our verse is nestled within a section of verses, which is the context. Paul, as he closes this epistle, encourages the church at Philippi to stand fast in the Lord, as you look in verse 1. He commits them to prayer and proper thinking. He exhorts them to do the things which they had been taught. After which, he mentions their financial support of his ministry and commends them for doing well, which is verse 10 down through verse 20. And our verse is in that section. Now, in his discussion, Paul speaks to the saints, but he also speaks from a personal perspective. As I mentioned, our text being found within these thoughts expresses, therefore, Paul's experience. And so to know this, to understand this, Paul's experience, is to understand our text. And that's what we're going to strive to do today. So we must see the context and why it is Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If we understand that, we'll understand our verse. So look back at verse 10. We'll just mention a few of these things as we go through. Paul mentions their financial support. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. He rejoices in the gifts, the financial offerings that they had for him. And the latest offering again shows their care. And they desired to do more, but didn't always have the opportunity. That's verse 10. Verse 11, the first part of the verse, Paul makes it very clear why he brings this subject up. Not that I speak in respect of want. He doesn't bring this up because he wants more. He's not asking for more. Notice, look at verse 17. We haven't read this yet. He mentions it for their reward. Verse 17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. Secondly, in verse 18, it is pleasing to God, those offerings that they brought. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. It's all about the church of Philippi, isn't it? Look at verse 19. This in turn engenders a promise. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So Paul mentions their financial support and says, oh, by the way, because I'm bringing this up, is not because I want you to give more to me, but I just want you to know what a blessing it is and how God will bless you because of your gifts. See, Paul's priority is not in himself. Rather, it is the benefit of the church and what the church is going to receive because of their gifts. Yet they did give to him, and it was a help to him. Look at verse 14. We had read this, notwithstanding, you have well done. You have given to us. That you did communicate with my affliction. So they gave, and it did help. But now focus on Paul's view, which he learned from his own experience. Verse 11, 12, and 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. In everywhere I am in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now notice as you look back at verse 11, then he has learned from his experience. I'll tell you, my friend, you ought to learn from your experience. Learn from what God allows to come upon you. And I'm just not talking about in a secular fashion, but you can learn spiritual principles in your life if you'll look for them. And Paul says, I have learn. And what does he learn? He has learned to be content. No matter what situation, no matter what the condition, Paul has learned contentment. And what does he know as a result of this? In verse 12, just glance back there, he knows how to subsist on little, and he knows how to handle abundance. That's what you read in the first part of the verse. In the last part of that verse, in verse 12, he has learned how to respond with a full belly or to be hungry. You ever experienced both? Paul has learned how to live and to serve and to be what God wants him to be, whether he's full or whether he's hungry. with all the supplies that he needs, as it mentions in the last part of that verse, or to do without and to make things do, as it says there, to suffer need. Paul has learned from his experience, and he expresses why it is that he can face his circumstances well. And that's verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. May God's grace rest upon us that we too would have the same foundation. May Christ Jesus be our source and our strength. May we find encouragement in this text. Now, I have divided this verse into four sections. We'll notice the service, the situation, the source, and the strength. So the first one is this. Notice verse 13, the service. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What is the service? Those first three words, I can do. Now, most often, this text is applied to Christian service. If you hear it mentioned from the pulpit, if you hear it mentioned in the Sunday school rooms, if you hear it just mentioned among believers, generally, we'll make that application and say, this applies to Christian service. That is what we do. You want to go witness? You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You want to serve the Lord in the local church? You can do all things through Christ, you see. And so the typical primary application that people lend to this verse is, well, I want to serve the Lord. How can I do that? Well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, second to that, then, it is usually applied to Christian duty. That is how we live. This is just a typical application of the text. And so, if they're not talking about, well, I want to serve the Lord and do these kind of things, well, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, then it's a matter of, well, I want to live for the Lord. I want to live a sanctified life. I want to live a pure life, a holy life. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can put away the bad habit. I can live a good life. I can be consistent in my Christian service and walk with Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, both of those are okay. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I believe it applies. But primarily, I would say, by the context, it really applies to the circumstances of life. Paul, within the context, is not really addressing Christian duty. He's not really addressing Christian service. Now, what he is addressing are the events of life. The thing that he experiences day by day as he serves the Lord and as he attempts to follow God by the way that he walks. And so he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That is his life. And this does include Christian service. It does include Christian duty. But my friend, I want you to realize that this promise extends not just to your service to the Lord and your attempt to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, but every aspect of your life, no matter what comes upon you as a child of God, I believe this promise applies. Why should we limit to just duty and service? Paul didn't. Paul's expression is anything in his life. Now, a few thoughts emerge from this before we look at the next point, and that is this. Number one, we all produce activity. We all do. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. Truth is, we're all doing all the time, aren't we? Because all of our life is our life. It subsists of activity. And so, as we mentioned, there are some who bereaved. There are some who are ill. That's part of their life. How do we face death? How do we face a loss of a loved one? How do we face sickness? How do we face financial trouble? How do we face family issues? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, is what Paul is saying. You see, we all produce this kind of activity. And every activity we produce, in the second fashion I would say unto you, every bit of that has circumstances, doesn't it? And they may be good circumstances. They may be bad circumstances. And they may be in different circumstances. But every event, every activity, everything that is in our life is surrounded by its set of circumstances. And so if I get out today and go to start my car and it doesn't work anymore. It's an event that I have to deal with. I have to respond to. Am I going to respond well? Or am I going to respond poorly? Now, if my circumstances and situation was that I was abundantly wealthy and had plenty of cash, I'm not going to be too upset about that car breaking down because, hey, I've got the money to fix it. But if I have no money at all, it kind of raises the stress level a little bit because you scratch your head and say, how in the world am I going to pay for this? Either way you look at it, every circumstance of life has its own surrounding circumstances. Every event, doesn't it? How are we going to respond to that? How are we going to react to all those things that come upon us in life? All those activities has its circumstance. And then number three, Paul's phrase implies ability. Notice he says, I can do. I can do. You do have activity. Now let me just plug this in to those other two that most generally is applied, and that is the service and the duty. There, you might be here as a Christian and say, you know what, I just really can't serve the Lord. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing I can offer. Paul says, I can do. You say, well, as a Christian, I can't really live a godly life. I can't live a sanctified life. It's just a huge struggle. I can do. You know there's ability there. You do produce activity, and you can do, and you can respond well in anything that comes before you by God's grace and by His mercy. This phrase implies ability. And the last thing I want to mention to you about the service is that Paul's phrase is personal. I can do. I can do. You know, some Christians believe that, God will help other people that won't help them. That other people can serve and other people can do, and that they'll be faithful in the Lord's work because God just helps them, but God just doesn't help me. I can do. Paul says, I can do. It's very personal, and I want you to know in your Christian service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ought to have a Christian service for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's personal. Yes, you can serve the Lord. And yes, you can live a life committed unto Him as you endeavor to be made in the image of Jesus Christ. And yes, you can in every aspect of life, in every circumstance, no matter what pops up, you can respond well. Don't think for a moment that as a Christian, that doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. And so I submit unto you, first of all, in our text today, Paul's secret of contentment is the service of which is mentioned. I can do. The second thing is the situation. Notice what he says. I can do all things. All things. This regards any type of circumstance. What did he say back in verse 11? Glance back there. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state. Whatsoever state. The situation is all things. It's just not Christian duty, is it? It's just not Christian service, is it? Anything in my life as a child of God, I can do all things. That's the situation. Now, he gave contrasting examples within the text. And again, it didn't involve duty or service. He says, I know how to be abased versus how to abound. To have a lot or to have little. You know, there are some of you that when you were young or just starting out, when you got married and so forth, I mean, you had little to nothing. And I mean, you could barely pay enough to get married and to have a brief honeymoon. I mean, you just had nothing. And you build up, and now the Lord's blessed you, and you look back over the years, you know what? Now you abound. That's a grand thing, isn't it? Haven't we all experienced in our lives what it is to be abased, to have nothing, and what it is to have plenty? Paul said, I know how to do that. I know how to respond to that situation. I know how to respond when I'm abased, and I know how to respond when I abound. He also said it was full versus hungry. I like being full, don't you? Isn't there a feeling of contentment when your belly's full? You might get a little drowsy and sleepy and all that. But you know what? It's a good feeling to be full, isn't it? We don't like the feeling to be empty, to be hungry, do we? But the truth of the matter is, in life, sometimes we're going to be full, and sometimes we're going to be hungry. And sometimes things in life are going to make it such to where the circumstances are a priority over even eating. And so you will be hungry and you'll have to skip a meal because this is more important than eating. You know how to respond to that. If the economy keeps getting worse and worse and worse, we might be experiencing hunger a little bit more than what we're used to. Will we know how to respond? Paul says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I know how to be full, I know how to be hungry. And he says, I know how to abound and how to suffer need. If I have what I need to do what needs to be done, or I don't have enough to do what needs to be done. You know how to stretch a dollar, you know? And so the idea is, Paul says, I know how to do all that. He says, I can do all things. Now that's his expression from the text, isn't it? And all things means all things, doesn't it? In verse 12, didn't he say, look back at the verse, everywhere and in all things I am instructed? In any situation of his life, this applies. In Christian service, in Christian duty, in Christian living, that is his daily activities of life. You know what? It really didn't matter to the Apostle Paul. Any portion of his life, in any capacity whatsoever, be it secular or religious, if you want to define it in that capacity, my friend, he says, I can do all things through Christ. All things. There is not any area that Jesus cannot affect. There's not, well, you know, I know the Lord can help me over here, but he can't help me over there. My friend, Jesus can impact every area. You can do all things through Christ. That's what the verse says. That's what Paul is saying. And I believe it to be true, don't you? Now, I may not always respond the way I ought to respond, and that would be a lack of faith on my part, but that doesn't violate the promise of Scripture. And we need to understand this promise. We need to hold on to this promise and know that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so we look into the text and we find two of these items of the four. The service of which Paul speaks of and the situation. I can do all things. But then notice the source. And this really is the key. And we're going to spend just a few moments here longer than the other two. Because we're talking about Jesus Christ. Isn't that worth spending some time on? Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. It's not self-help groups. It's not lifting myself up by my bootstraps or reading how-to books. Some of those things can be very good. But he says, I can do all things through Christ. And so as I share with you the secret of Paul's contentment today, I'm going to emphasize that if you are going to plug this in into your life, you're going to accept this, you must embrace the truth that your source must be Jesus Christ. Anything else will fail. I can do all things through Christ. Jesus Christ is Paul's source. Paul relied upon the Lord, didn't he? Look over to the book of Galatians. In chapter 2, see what the Apostle Paul states here. Now, I realize this is in regard to his service to the Lord, but notice what he says. Paul in Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is Paul saying? Paul says, it's Christ in me. I live, but it's Christ. How's he going to live? It's through Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote over there, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, notice, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Paul relied upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he states here in regard to his circumstance, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul relied upon the Lord. His source for grace was Jesus Christ. And by the way, we need grace. We need God's unmerited favor. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Don't you love this precious promise? We're told in this verse, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Maybe we are hungry. Maybe we are abased. Maybe we are suffering need. But you know, in that time of need, in that time of affliction, we can come before the throne of grace and find exactly what we need. Our source is none other than a source that Paul used, and that is Jesus Christ. We need grace. That grace is found in Jesus Christ. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As a matter of fact, we have a statement here where the power of which Paul needs, that power was found in God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, excuse me, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, God could have made us different. God could have armed us with different things and abilities and powers, but He didn't. He made us earthen vessels. We're human beings. We're very limited. We're very fragile. And Paul says, we have this in earthen, this great treasure in earthen vessels. We're simply people. Why did God do that? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do not be self-reliant. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I happen to be mentioned this on Wednesday night, and we readdress it here momentarily. My friend, all we need is found in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. Whether it's salvation, whether it's service, whether it's living this life, whether what's going to occur in the future, everything is rooted in Jesus Christ. The source is Jesus, isn't it? I can do all things through Christ. And so everything we need is found in Jesus Christ. Are we not saved through Christ? And there are just a host of scriptures that speak about that, how we're saved through Christ. But then after we're saved, how do we live? We ought to live as Christians should live, and we do that through Christ. I remind you of the passage over in Romans chapter 7 where Paul deals with the struggle of the flesh, where the things that he would do, he does not, and the things that he wouldn't do, those are the things that he does. And boy, that just really is a struggle for a Christian, isn't it? I mean, we want to really do serve the Lord, but it just seems like the flesh just keeps rearing its ugly head, and it's a hindrance. Now, how are we going to conquer that? I'm just going to grit my teeth and be a better Christian. Well, you can try that, and all you're going to do is get TMJ. You're going to have headaches. Paul said at the end of that passage, Romans chapter 7, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where will we get deliverance from that struggle? It is through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, permit me to read to you verse 21. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21. Listen to what he says. And he talks about the blood of the covenant, the God of peace, that he would make them perfect. He says that he make you perfect, that God would do that. God would make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's Jesus, my friend. And if I'm going to face anything in this life and face it well, it must be through Jesus Christ. And I have a grand promise, of which you have also as a Christian. I can do all things through Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe you can face trials and troubles? Do you believe you can face financial hardship, physical infirmity, emotional trouble, family issues? Do you believe that you can face anything that life has to bring to us and face it well for Jesus Christ's sake? Do you believe it? The Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ. We must rely upon the Lord. We're saved through Christ. We live through Christ. If you're still in Philippians chapter 4, and you should be if my memory serves me right, we are able to trust God with our present circumstances, no matter what they be. This is found in verse 7 of the passage, that we ought to pray about everything, worry about nothing, verse 6. And then he says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anything life brings to us, we can take to God in prayer, we can give Him thanks, and God's peace can rest upon us in any present circumstance. Isn't that marvelous? I can do all things through Christ. But then let me submit unto you, stay right where you are. But one other thing, that all we need is found in Christ, even our future is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, he says that Christ was raised up together and so forth, and he's seated in heavenly places. He says that in verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I mean, everything is going to be shown in the future. It's still all through Christ. You see, the source is Jesus, isn't it? So you look, you're there in the passage, Philippians chapter 4. The promise is very clear. This is Paul's secret to contentment. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice the last thing. We've seen the source. That last point is the strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In order to do this, what I've chosen to do, I invite you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I've chosen two examples that Paul lists in the Scripture of his own experience. Now remember, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So it is fair to look at a part of Paul's life, see what he learned. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He had an experience one time with Alexander the coppersmith. And Paul, being a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, Alexander, he didn't like the things of God and he opposed them. 2 Timothy 4, look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Now we're talking about the strength that God provides. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Well, it was tough. He was all alone, wasn't he? I pray God that it may be not be laid to their charge. Notice verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Paul says, I was forsaken. I was all alone. I was down and out. Talking about being in want and suffering need, my friend, he was all alone. He said, but God was with me and he strengthened me. Paul has learned, hasn't he? That even if he was absolutely forsaken by everyone, God is faithful. And he will not leave him nor forsake him. God strengthened him. The second passage is a very familiar passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the passage wherein the Apostle Paul, dealing with his experience of affliction. God had allowed a trial to come upon him physically. Some believe that it's a problem with his eyes. Other believe it's other kind of physical infirmities, but whatever it was, Paul was tired of it. He wanted to deal with it before the Lord and get rid of it. You ever want to get rid of anything? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have this account that is given here before us in verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. I mean, God had shown so much to him and used him for his glory that, you know, God didn't want him to become proud. So it says that lest he should be exalted above measure, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Notice, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. Paul was tired of it. He was sick of it. He didn't want it. He knew why it was there, but he didn't enjoy it. He asked the Lord three times that God would take it away. And his response we find in verse 9, and he said unto me, this is what God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul concluded, the last part of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul's source is Jesus Christ. And he learned it throughout his Christian life and his service unto the Lord. With affliction, with people who stood against him, with... Oh, and you can read over in Philippians how he suffered so many things, a day and a night in the deep, and falling among robbers. I mean, all sorts of things. He learned. He has learned that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. That's the secret of his contentment. Let me read to you a few promises that we find in the Old Testament scriptures. Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you think Paul believed that? He did. And so he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. God has something for you. He will perform it. God will not forsake us. How is it that Paul could be content in the face of circumstances in his life, and it's just not Christian service, it's just not Christian duty, but every event of life? How is it he can be content? That's verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I've given you these four things. I've given you the context. Let me address the conclusion very briefly. Every aspect of our life will have its circumstances. Every one. You can't help it. It's just the way life is. And our responses to our circumstance is crucial. Will it be in faith or in doubt? Will it be with courage or in fear? Will we respond to our circumstances in a good fashion or a bad fashion? Will our response be honoring to God or dishonoring? With praise or in complaint? With confidence in God or with self-reliance? Paul learned to be content. So should we. And I believe we have the secret before us. It's verse 13. And the secret really was, the source is Jesus Christ. It wasn't in Paul. It wasn't in his family. It wasn't in the church. The source was Jesus. May we rely upon the same source. May we learn to be content. And the only way we can do that is by adopting the truth of Philippians chapter 4. Not just as a verse in memory, but an application into our lives, knowing, as a Christian, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do you believe it? We'd be encouraged by it. And if you're here and you're not saved, your greatest need is Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You can't save yourself. It's impossible. You can't be good enough. You can't be religious enough. God doesn't accept those vain offerings. What He accepts is the righteousness of His Son. And Jesus Christ came nearly 2,000 years ago to earth to live a perfect life. But they crucified Him as a sinner, though He never sinned. And what was going on there was Jesus Christ took the punishment of sin upon Himself as He hung there on the tree. And He will give eternal life to any who would believe. Your biggest need, my friend, as a lost person, is to be saved. Is to know Christ, to become a child of the King. Only Jesus can do that. He's your only source for salvation. After that, for every one of us who are saved, He is our only source for life. And by Him, we can be content. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Brother Paul, would you please come? Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. And the invitation simply is this, right where you are. God's spoken to your heart. God's convicted you. You know you need the Savior. Would you repent and believe on Him? Would you embrace Jesus? If you do, come and let us know. But if you're saved and you know Christ and you know life is hard, we don't always respond the way we ought to. It's because we fail to rely upon Jesus. Then I encourage you right where you are to just bow your head and just speak to the Lord and give Him all your care and all your worry and all your needs and see what He'll do. Father, bless Your word to our hearts. May it be an encouragement to all who are here. We ask You to save the lost and strengthen the saved. You are our only source. We know the truth of Scripture. May Your grace rest upon us and Your Spirit apply that truth so that we would live well, that we'd be content. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?